bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, as we open the Word of God today, we ask for your help. We need your help, Lord. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us in understanding and to receive and grasp and lay hold of this Word that the enemy would not be able to rob it out of our hearts. So I thank God, O Lord. I open my spirit, O Lord. I open my spirit to see what you see, O God. To hear what you hear. To hear what you say. So help us this morning, O Lord. In Jesus' name. So this morning, let's turn to John chapter 1. The message, the title is Faith is the Substance. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it's absolutely necessary in our lives. You can't please God without faith. You can't do anything without faith. We need faith. And God expects and desires us to have faith. So John chapter 1, the first three verses. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Who are we talking about here? Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God the Father, and the Word was Jesus. All things were made through Him. He was the creator of all things. All things. And so I want to talk this morning about how we need to build our faith. To build it. Jesus spoke the Word. God the Father spoke the Word. They spoke the Word. And things appeared. They created this world that we live in. They created it. So what we want to do, and I wrote this down, God gave this to me, I believe, last week. I spent the week soaking. And it's going to take a little bit to absorb it. So I suggest you write it down or perhaps get a listen to it online. Confessing our hope. According to the Word, of course, or in line with the Word. So confessing our hope is the substance that becomes faith and takes the place as the evidence of things not seen but hoped for. That's real clear, isn't it? But if you think it through, and hopefully by the end of the message, you'll have a clear picture of it. I'm going to say it again. I will say it again. Confessing our hope, according to the Word, of course, always, is the substance that becomes faith and takes the place as the evidence of things not seen but hoped for. I'll say it once more. Confessing our hope, according to the Word, always, is the substance that becomes faith. The substance that becomes faith and takes the place as the evidence of things not seen but hoped for. And that's based on four scriptures here. First one is Hebrews 11:1. And I'm going to read it rather than just quote it because I think it's important to hear and see the Word of God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3, the first few words of that, I just look at it now and it says, by faith we understand. By faith we understand. By faith we understand. By faith we understand. What do you hear when I say that? By faith we understand. What do you hear? By faith we understand. Without faith you're not going to understand. That's what it means. You're not going to be able to receive or to grasp. It takes faith to believe and understand the Word of God. Faith is the substance. You may not be able to see it, but it exists. Just like air, you can't see it, but boy, would we be in trouble when it's taken away, if it was. So what is this substance? Faith is the substance. What is the substance of this? Well, it starts with things hoped for. That's where it starts. And we see that in Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. So it has to start with things hoped for. Because you're not going to confess what you're not hoping for. Unless you're making a negative confession. But here, it's referring to things like good health, salvation, mercy, forgiveness, finances, all the things, the promises that are in the Word of God, things that God has promised to us. Those are the things hoped for. So that's what we're starting with. But it says here, hold fast the confession of our hope. Hold fast the confession. So in time, this substance turns into the evidence or confidence needed to believe and receive the things not seen. It takes time for that to happen. But it's very scriptural. So what are these things that are not seen? Well, like I just said, salvation, healing, so forth. They're the things that are hoped for. Let us hold fast the confession, verse 23, of our hope. The confession of our hope. The confession, holding fast the confession of your hope. So what are you supposed to do with the things you hope for?
Confess it.
Confess it. So simple. The confession of our hope. The confession of the things that we hope for without wavering. For he who promised, he's faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is always faithful. Always. So this verse is telling us that we need to confess out loud the word of God regarding the things that we are hoping for. The things that we're hoping for without wavering. Amen. It's telling us that the things that we are hoping for must be confessed. Confessed. That's why the devil has worked so hard and been quite successful and getting Christians to be too proud or too something not to confess the word out loud. Boy, is it hard to get people to do that. Yeah. It's hard to get people to confess the word. It's really, I mean, he has really done a job on the church. People have been very resistant to that, including us. But it's telling us, see, God is telling us that we have to, first we have to hope for, and then we've got to confess the things that we are hoping for. Because here in verse 35, chapter 10, he says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't let go of your confidence in God's promises. That's what it's saying. Don't let go. Now, why would he tell us that? Why would he say, don't let go of your confidence? Come on, it's just not a trick question. It's very clear. Why would he say, don't let go of your confidence?
Is it possible to slip away? Well, because the enemy wants to rob our confidence all the time.
Yeah.
If we give in to that, we'll lose it.
Because we have a tendency when things get difficult to quit. Things get hard, they don't happen overnight. You know, people make fun of you. You know, what are you doing? Oh, I'm believing God for my healing. Oh, yeah. And they make it is sad that the very people who should be supporting you, encouraging you, standing with you usually just make fun of you. But I'm evidence that you won't melt.
Amen.
Or shrink. I have been ridiculed, laughed at, made fun of, called all kinds of names by Christians, born again, spirit-filled Christians, for speaking the word. But you have got to hang on to your confidence. It says here it has a great reward. So how do you hang on to this confidence? How do you do that? Let's look at verse 23. How do we hang on to it?
Hold fast to our confession.
Last word?
Confession.
Confession. And it's amazing, you know, how the enemy has used that word confession. Because really, for most people that have heard of it, it's the Catholic Church. You go into that little box there, tell all your sins, and then say three Hail Marys, and poof, sins are all gone. But that's not confession. So that's not confession. The confession of God's Word is what he's telling us to do. The confession of God's Word. You need to really understand how the enemy has used this. I remember as a kid, on the first Friday of every month, we were marched from the grade school, the 8 blocks to the church, the entire school, and lined up for confession. Nobody asked you if you needed to go, so we used to trade sins to make it interesting. You know, I mean, it was, we didn't even understand it. Understand? But it was a ritual. And we went through the ritual every first Friday of the month. Didn't do a thing for us. Except it gave us the attitude that I can do whatever I want. Because first Friday of next month, it's all erased. That's what we thought. And it wasn't true. And it isn't true. So we do it in part by depositing and confessing his promises out loud. And what does he tell us about this? That this confidence, what does it provide? A great reward. Not just a reward, but a great reward.
Hallelujah.
A great reward. And that reminds me of, I think it's in Ephesians chapter 3, around verse 20, somewhere in there. Yes, verse 20. Now to him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And where do you think this power comes from? There's only one place to get faith. That's from the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and receiving the Word of God. And where does that Word have to get to work? Into your spirit. There are a lot of people that have remarkable intellectual knowledge about the Bible, about history, and so forth, but they don't have a clue how to connect with God. So God is not a mind. He's not a mind. And we don't connect with God with our mind. But for most of us, by the time we find this out, we're older. You know, I was 30 years old when I found this out. Started to find it out. Some are older when that happens. And after you've done something for 30 years or 40 years, it's tough to change it. It's tough to change the way you think. Because this is the way we've always done it. But it was wrong. Doesn't matter. It's still the way we've always done it. And learning to change that and say, I've got to connect with God with my spirit. Oh, where is my spirit? How do I connect with it? How does my soul connect with my spirit? That's a process to learn. Yeah, the soul, mind, will, and emotions. It's a process to learn that as well. See, it's if we will confess His Word and speak His Word and believe His Word, you come to the place where you believe that God, when He said that He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. That's verse 23. Now, that's a reality, but it's an overwhelming reality at times, because when we are believing God for a miracle, it is difficult to believe that if we haven't soaked in the confession of His Word. It's difficult to believe. It's like trying to... You're studying for an exam in a particular area, and you skirt over the information, and then on the exam it says, explain in detail why, blah, blah, blah. And you don't have anyone to cheat off of. You've got to rely on what you know, what you believe, and you don't know anything because you didn't bother to study it properly.
It says in Galatians 2:20 that the life I now live, the life, like the entire life that I now live, I live by faith.
And who said that? And what kind of life did Paul lead? I mean, most folks are never going to get to that place, realistically. But we can at least do the best we can. It's not God who will stop us. It's our own flesh, because living your life completely for God is an undertaking that is very overwhelming. So, going back to what I was saying earlier, the confessing of our hope, according to the Word, I always keep adding according to the Word. Why do I add that? Because some people start confessing silly things that they're never ever going to have, God's never going to give them, and then they'll say it doesn't work. So confessing our hope is the substance. It's the substance. It's the substance. It's when I'm starting with confessing my hope, I'm confessing the Word, and it, in time, becomes faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. And as it becomes faith, it then takes the place of the evidence of things not seen but hoped for.
Yes.
Is that starting to make more sense now?
Yes.
I'm going to give you an example. Always good to have an example. Luke chapter 1. Verses, 34 to 38. The angel's coming to Mary and saying, you're going to have a son, the Son of God. And Mary says to the angel, how can this be since I don't know a man? So she wasn't rebuking him, and she wasn't acting in unbelief. She was asking for clarification, which is not a problem to God. How could it be since I haven't done anything? And so the angel goes on to tell him that God is just going to overshadow her. Verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Now here's Mary's response. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. She received the word She received it, and she conceived the word of God into her spirit, and it manifested in her flesh. But if she had said, no, I don't think this is possible, he would have to find someone else. That's why John the Baptist's father, they shut his mouth for the entire period that his wife was pregnant. Why did they do that? Because he was in unbelief. He was in unbelief. We have to believe and cooperate with the Word of God for it to work in our spirit and manifest in our flesh. We need to believe and receive and allow the Word to do its work. And that's what she did. She received the Word. She said, let it be to me. That's the same way as confessing the Word. She's confessing the Word. Let the Word, let it be to me. I receive what you say, angel. Let it be to me according to your Word.
It's also interesting that she received it knowing that it was going to cost her a lot of
loss. Yeah. True, very true. Every promise of the Word of God is available to us through Jesus Christ. Is that true?
Yes.
How do you know?
1 Corinthians.
Second. Chapter 1, verse 20. For all of the promises of God in Him, Him being Jesus, are yes and amen to the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
Every promise in Christ is yes and amen. So why aren't we receiving every promise? Why aren't we receiving every promise? Unbelief. Laziness. Ignorance. A lack of knowledge. Ignorance. Pride. Yeah, unforgiveness is a biggie. There are things, like every promise is available, but in order to receive the promise, there are things, perhaps, maybe, in our lives that need to be addressed or dealt with before we can receive that promise. And it's difficult sometimes to hear and to receive that. Unforgiveness is a biggie, probably the biggest. Because God says, if we won't forgive, He can't. He won't either. It's that simple and that straightforward. In fact, I read a scripture here that, ouch. Where did I see it here? I think it's in Psalm 18. Is that right? Yes, verse 20. Psalm 18, verse 20. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, He has recompensed me. What is that telling us? God watches our lives. He watches our lives. So we need to, when we're praying for something, we need to be open to the Spirit of God speaking to us about any area of our lives. In fact, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:10, is to reveal and explain the depths and the realities of God's promises. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verse 7 says, the hidden wisdom. Verse 9 says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the mind of man the things which God has prepared for it. And most folks just stop there. But it goes on to say, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Well, who does his Spirit speak to? My Spirit, your Spirit. John 16, I believe, verse 13, Jesus tells his disciples, let me read that to you. Verse 12 says, I still got a ton of things to tell you, but you can't handle them right now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. So that's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. But in order for the Holy Spirit to be able to reveal these hidden truths, we need to and must meditate and read and ponder and confess the Word of God. And we always have the enemy to deal with. The Bible says he comes for three things: steal, kill, destroy. That's all he cares about. So God spoke to Joshua. In fact, it's worth looking at. So let's go to Joshua. Chapter 1. I think it's verse 8. Now Joshua is about to go into the land, and so God is giving him his final marching orders. So he's going to tell him the most important things to do. And he says, this book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. It's interesting. He says, the word of God shall not depart from your mouth. Not your mind, not your memory, but your mouth. Shall not depart from your mouth. And how does it get there? We speak it in. We speak it in. That's in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 10. We speak the word of God into our spirit. In John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask anything you want. Anything you want. Now this, the next part here, and I'm coming down to near the end, is really important. A shield of faith. What is a shield of faith? Well, this is absolutely not the only way to define it, is the word of God radiating really from you, like an aura type of thing. When the word of God abides in you, there's an aura of faith around you. Smith Wigglesworth was a fellow that, one of the things I was listening to this week about him is that he walked into a train car filled with passengers. And the moment he stepped in, the whole place came under conviction of God. He hadn't opened his mouth, but there was radiating from him such a presence of God that it brought them all under conviction. I don't know if they got saved or not, but they were impacted immediately. Now, you can't see it, but you can sense it and almost like feel the impact of it. And that the devil can't get through that shield. If you are soaked in God, that shield is capable of quenching all the fiery darts. And how does he do that? Well, how did Jesus do it? When the devil came and said, you know, I'll give you this and I'll give you that, and why don't you do this? He said three words. It is written. Through the word. You can build that shield as strong as you want, but if you get a flaw in that shield, it's going to let some things through. What do I mean by a flaw? Well, sin or strife. We get into strife, unforgiveness. We've got to keep the wiles of the enemy off of us. Or if we slip up, which we all do, we repent immediately and obey the word of God. Unfortunately, see, that's where he gets us, because things tend to build up. Most Christians have a whole pile of problems in that area. They have a whole pile of flaws in that sense. You know, like, we have allowed the enemy to use other people to offend us, to cause us to feel whatever, and we haven't dealt with it. It's so critical to be working on it all the time, because that'll stop your faith from working. It will stop your faith from working. So we need to do what Colossians says. Let's go to Colossians, and then I'm done. In Colossians chapter 3 tells us to put on the new man. Put on the new man. Put on the new man. Made in the image of God. Absolutely. Everything is by faith there. Everything. As we're doing that, I just want to read to you one more that's just kind of come in. And that's if we can, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, and in the confession of our sins here, I'm not saying, you know, I did blah, 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 sorry. You know, that's not the kind of confession I'm talking about. It's a genuine grieving over our sins. God, I did this, and I won't do it again. Now, I may do it again, but I'm purposing not to. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. It's so important to receive the cleansing of God. So important. So back to Colossians 3. All right. It tells us, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above. It tells us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It tells us to put on the new man, which is renewed. How is the new man renewed? Verse 10, in knowledge according to the image of Jesus who created us. So that we are actively embracing the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So that's the shield of faith becoming strong, so that the enemy can't break through on us. And if he does, and we blow it, we go to God and say, I sinned. And I repent of this sin. And do my absolute best not to do it again. And ask, not just for forgiveness, but a cleansing. We need a cleansing. What did I read in Psalm 18:20? The Lord has rewarded me according to the cleanness of my hands. Well, he's not talking about soap and water, you know. And that's where it becomes a lifelong. That's what Paul was talking about. But coming to the place where the Holy Spirit just whispers into your spirit and hearing that takes 100% commitment and time. But that's the goal that we should be going for. That's what we should hope for. That's what we should be confessing. God is working in me. And I'm not going to rebel against the word. You know, I am not going to rebel. And major areas are, of course, unforgiveness. It's one of the major, major ones. Bitterness. Tithing. I mean, there are so many areas where we put ourselves in charge instead of letting the word of God be in charge of us. But God is a gracious person. And no matter what condition we're in, if you're still alive and breathing, you can do something about it. You know, it's amazing how quickly things can happen. During the month I was off, I buried two cousins. Two of them. One of them, my cousin John, was a really good friend of mine. I spoke to him on Monday morning and he said, I don't feel well. So we canceled our dinner, and I said, I'll talk to you next week. So I called him next Monday, and he said, I have lung cancer. No, I didn't even smoke. They had lung cancer. I talked to him the next Monday. No, I didn't. He was dead. That's how fast it happened. Same age as me. Just 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks, he was gone. My other cousin, she went probably in less than a week. But she was sick. John was what we thought was healthy. You need to be ready in God. I'm not sure he was ready to meet God. Either of them. And I don't think the other one was at all, but I'm not sure he was. That's really the most important thing. It's not so we can get all the promises of God. It's so that we can spend eternity with him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Good.